If you want to read the setting of scripture that the Lord has placed upon my heart, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Exodus, and I'm going to read some scripture familiar, no doubt, to you from Exodus chapter 17. So Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 8. Exodus chapter 17, verse number 8. And the first three words kind of leap off of the page like words on the big screen. And you can almost hear the guy in the theater with that deep voice saying, "Then came Amalek. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hilltop, or I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand, the staff that Moses carried. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and Joshua fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, now listen to verse number 11. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands, the scripture said, were heavy. So Aaron and Hur, they took a stone and put it under him, under Moses, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up the hands, or stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. And verse 13 is the result. And Joshua discomfited. Joshua slaughtered. Joshua made very uncomfortable Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, maybe you know you got a problem when God says, I'm going to wipe your name out from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa. In the Hebrew, it's Jehovah Nissa. It means the Lord, our banner, or the Lord, our victory, or our battles are won. In the name of the Lord, it is God who wins our battles. Let me just share something with you this morning. You may be going through some stuff, but I want you to know you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and the battle doesn't just belong to you. The battle belongs to God, and God will give you the victory. Verse number 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask that you bow your heads and let us pray and let us go to the Lord this morning and ask for his anointing to minister his word. Heavenly Father, we are so wonderfully blessed to be able to gather in your name. We are so wonderfully blessed because of your anointing and because of your presence. We have worshiped and we have sang and we have honored you in our singing. But now, Lord, we come to the reading of the word, and I of my own self am inadequate. And I look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. You are my sufficiency. I pray that you would anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch me with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that you would inspire my thoughts, put your word in my mind and in my mouth, and let them come forth anointed of God, like arrows to the hearts of your people. Give us ears to hear what you would speak this morning. Father, let Jesus always be glorified in our midst, and let the people of God this morning be edified through the word of God. Those who listen by way of the internet, I pray that you would touch them wherever they may be as they listen. And Father, for all of these things, we will give you the glory and we will give you the praise. And we will fail not to honor you with thanksgiving. And we ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Amen, amen. So, you know, the first thing I just want to share with you, this had nothing to do with my message, but, you know, I prayed that the Lord would let individuals who listen by way of the internet be touched and be blessed. Did you know that we have people in India listening to sermons online? Haas works with a young lady at HP there, and she is stationed over in India, and she sent him a message and said, I just wanted to let you know I love the sermon last week at Elevation Worship Center. It's really great. She's in India. I think that's pretty amazing. Amen. All right, so this morning I want to minister to you on a subject that I have titled, A Guy Like Her. Cue the music. Dude, look like a lady. Not really. A guy like her. This setting of scripture that we have shared together this morning is an important moment in the life of the nation of Israel. They have been delivered out of Egypt's bondage, and they are on their way to the promised land. If you have been around church very long or read the Bible much, I'm sure that you have read the story of the Exodus. How that God mightily displayed his power and brought plague after plague upon Egypt. Until Pharaoh finally determined that he would let the people of God go. The children of Israel had watched as God had delivered them out of the iron-fisted grip of Pharaoh, and they had been set free. And then they had watched as God parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry ground, celebrating the fact that their God had done mighty things. Amen. They are on their way to the promised land. And then it is here in chapter 17 that we read, amen, that they are faced with an unprovoked attack from the children of Amalek. Amalek was the descendants of Esau. Esau was the brother of Jacob. And I will just tell you this morning that Amalek was a constant source of trouble for the children of Israel until they were finally utterly destroyed. But this unprovoked attack caused God to say that he would war with Amalek until they were removed from the face of the earth. God set his heart against them, and God set his face against them and promised that they would utterly be destroyed. If you are a student of the word of God, you will know that that promise was absolutely fulfilled. They were utterly wiped out, but here in our text, the Bible says, unprovoked, then came Amalek and warred with the children of Israel. Then came Amalek, and unprovokedly they begin to war against the people of God, and they begin to withstand the people of God. And Moses, the great leader of the people, Moses says to Joshua, I want you to choose out men, and I want you to go and lead them into battle. And I will go to the top of the hill there in the morning, and I will take the rod of God with me. And I will intercede, and I will pray, and I will ask God to give you the victory in the battle. The Bible said that Joshua did as Moses instructed him to do. In the morning, he chose out, amen, men of war, and they gathered themselves together, and they went out to fight against Amalek. And in the meantime, the word of God tells us, and our text tells us, that Aaron and Moses and a man named Hur went to the top of the hill, and there they began to pray, and the battle began to rage there in the valley. And the Bible said that as long as Moses held up his hand, as long as the leader and the, amen, the intercessor for the people held up his hands, Joshua won the battle in the valley. But how many of you know if you hold your hands up very long, they will get weary? Amen. If you hold your hands up very long, they will become, amen, very heavy. And when Moses' hands began to fall, the tide began to turn in the valley, and Amalek began to prevail. Amalek began to win the battle. And so there was Aaron and Hur. And from this scene this morning, or from this text, we hear the name of the great leader Moses. And we find the name of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who would become the high priest, or the first high priest of the nation of Israel. And it is also here in our text that we read the name of a future leader who would lead the people of God on into the promised land. This text is the very first time that we will read the name of Joshua. Amen. And I will just tell you this morning that we know a great deal about Moses. We know how that in his birth and in his childhood, he was hid in the reeds along the banks of the river. We read how that he was raised in Pharaoh's house, and how that God called him by way of a burning bush to go deliver the people. We know a lot about Moses. We know an awful lot about Aaron. He would become the first high priest. He was Moses' brother. We know a lot about Aaron, and we know a lot about Aaron's actions. We also know a lot about Joshua. He was a great general. He was the predecessor that would follow in the footsteps of Moses. He was the one that would pick up the mantle of Moses and lead the children of Israel on into, amen, into the promised land. But there is another man there in our text. There is another man there in our text this morning, and I believe that he deserves some of our attention. And his name is Hur. This man steps out of nowhere, and he does a great work of God, and then he disappears back into the same shadows from whence he came. He steps out of obscurity, and then he disappears in the pages of history, but not without making an impact. People have long looked unto Moses and Aaron and Joshua as heroes of the faith and great role models, and I believe rightly so. However, I want you to understand this morning that I believe the hero of this particular story is Hur. I believe the hero of this particular story is Hur. We know a lot about Moses, we know a lot about Aaron, and we know a lot about Joshua, and there is much to admire. But here is a man that we know very little about, and yet he steps into a role and fulfills a purpose, and he fulfills a place that if it had not been for this man called Hur, they would have lost the battle in the valley. Amen. What are you getting at this morning, Pastor Gary? Amen. Today, I would like to pay tribute to every Hur in this crowd. Today, I would like to honor all of those who work behind the scenes at Elevation Worship Center in order to make us successful. Amen. I would like to pay tribute to those who go unnoticed and often go unthanked and who are all too often unappreciated by the crowd, men and and women like her who perform a function in the body of Christ that is absolutely so vital and so critical that if they were not there, amen, things would not go very smoothly. They deserve our recognition and they deserve our thanks. It is the HERS of Elevation Worship Center who enable the rest of us to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning that pastor cannot do it on his own. I have two retired pastors and a visiting pastor, and I am sure that all three of them will tell you, amen, that this ain't no place for the Lone Ranger mentality. Pastor cannot do it on his own. The job is much larger than the pastor. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. Moses could not do it on his own. You say, well, Pastor Gary, surely the Lord could. I will tell you, Jesus could not do it on his own. Do you have scripture for that? Look in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 40. The Bible says, you can read it there in Mark 15 and 40, that Jesus had those who followed him and ministered unto him. What does that mean? It means that there were those that followed the ministry of Jesus and they were his support team. Amen. I can't do it on my own. Moses couldn't do it on his own. Jesus couldn't do it on his own. And I want you to understand, ministry depends upon the HERS of the body of Christ to come along and uphold us. Leadership depends upon individuals like her. Allow me to share with you this morning four characteristics of a guy like her that makes them special to the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me tell you why I believe this morning we all need to be a guy like her. Look at your neighbor and without a smile, without a crack on your face, tell him, I want to be a guy like her. I hope when we leave here this morning, we all feel that way. And maybe I shouldn't preach this in today's modern culture, but I want to be a guy like her. So what kind of guy was her? What kind of individual was this man? Amen. Let me just tell you, first of all, this morning, he was, number one, he was absolutely invaluable. He was absolutely invaluable. Stop and think for a moment this morning. If it had not been for this man and the work that he performed, Moses would not have had the strength to do what he needed to do. And his hands would have fallen as they were, and they would have stayed down, and the children of Israel would have lost the battle. Amen. Moses needed someone to come alongside of him and to uphold his hands. Joshua would have never been able to lead the children of Israel into battle if it had not been for a guy like her. If it had not been for this man, the battle would have been lost and Israel would have been defeated. When the hands of Moses that were held up, and if that was a sign of intercession unto God, Israel prevailed in the battle. But when Moses' hands begin to get weary, hey, how many of you know sometimes your hands begin to get weary? And hey, we all need somebody that'll come alongside and encourage and uphold, amen, and stand with us. Amen. Her got on one side and Aaron got on the other side. And they begin to hold up the hands of the man of God. And when they did so, the children of Israel discomfited the Amalekites in the valley. No doubt after a time of holding up his hands, Moses' hands became heavy. And I want you to know this morning, there are often times that we individually carry a burden and it gets very heavy. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. Amen. Have you ever been in a place where you carried a burden and it got heavy? Have you ever needed somebody like her to come alongside and uphold you? Amen. And give you an encouraging word. Have you ever needed someone to come alongside of you and lift up your weary hands? Amen. Has there ever been a place in your life when somebody like her came along and just gave you an encouraging word and it felt like you could put another foot in front of the other and keep right on going? You hear what I'm talking about? We all need guys like her in our life. Hallelujah. Joshua fighting the battle in the valley, but it was Moses and Aaron and her that was making intercession and standing in the gap behind the scenes. Nobody knew where they were. It was easy to see Joshua, the leader, leading the people to battle. He was out front. Everybody could see him. But it was the guys behind the scenes that was making things happen out front. Now think about that for a moment. Amen. Sometimes we work in obscurity. But I want you to know something. If it were not for guys like her interceding for those who are placed out in the front and often get the recognition, amen, those individuals would not be able to do what they do if somebody wasn't standing with them. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, church, those of you that have a her mentality at EWC, you are the backbone of this body. Amen. You may not work in a public position, or you may not be out in front and receive public recognition, but I want you to know that if it were not for you, the rest of us could not do what we do. I love it. Every single Sunday, Sister Dean tells me, I start praying for you long about Tuesday, so God will give you a message for Sunday. Thank you. Hello? I encourage the rest of you to do it. Amen. I believe everybody ought to get behind the pulpit and endeavor to preach just one sermon one time in their life. Hello? I promise you, you will understand that it's not fishing 6 days a week and one sermon on Sunday. No, I promise you, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Amen, and thank God for somebody like her that will come alongside and begin to pray. God, give him an inspired word. Speak to his heart. Open up a revelation. Make your word new. Give him the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Move in his heart and let him be an effective minister of the word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, guys like her are invaluable. You are invaluable. You are invaluable. Have that kind of mentality. Holding one another up, lifting one another up, sharing one another's battles, encouraging one another in your trials. Amen. Be the kind of individual that her was, because that kind of individual is absolutely invaluable to the kingdom of God. Number two, a guy like her is involved. A guy like her is involved. Josephus, the first century historian, tells us that her was the brother-in-law of Moses and Aaron. But let me tell you what he was not. He was not a great leader or a great general like Joshua. He was not a great leader or lawgiver like Moses. He was not like Aaron, the great high priest of the people of God. He was not like any of the warriors that were there in the battle fighting in the valley. But let me tell you what he was. He was involved. He was involved. On this particular day, there was one thing that Hur could do, and he did it without, amen, without bickering. He did it without somebody having to drag him along to do it, but he did it willingly, he did it actively, and he did it faithfully. Amen. He could hold up the hands of someone else. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is a great lesson for the church in that right there this morning. Amen. You may not be able to preach like the pastor, and you may not be able to lead worship like the worship leader, and you may not be able to play the instruments like Aaron and the others that play up here, but let me tell you what you can do. Amen. You can do what God puts on your heart, and you can do it willingly, and you can do it faithfully, and you can do it as unto the Lord, and you can be a blessing right where you are. Amen, amen, amen. Some folks want to sit around and bicker and argue about who's the best preacher and who can hit the highest C note and, amen, who plays the keyboards the best and all kinds of mess. Let me just tell you, I am thankful this morning for guys like her who are willing to do what they can do. They recognize they can't do everything, but bless God, they're going to do something for the kingdom of God. That's the kind of mentality that we need to have. I may not be able to do what you do, but thank God, I can do what I do, and I'm gonna do it with all of my heart. I'm gonna do it willingly, and I'm gonna do it faithfully with all of my heart. Amen. It's important, I believe, this morning, not to look at the things that we cannot do. Amen. We cannot do what other people do. We are not all the eye. We are not all the ear. We are not all the foot. Hello? But when we do our part, we can see, we can hear, and we can walk. Hello? When we all do our part, amen, we all do our part, and we do what we can do. And I encourage you this morning to focus on what you can do. Do what you can do, and God will bless it. There is a story, and you'll find it in the book of Mark, chapter 14. The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 14, that Jesus was in Bethany in Simon the leper's house. The Bible says that as he sat there at meat in Simon the leper's house, a woman came into the house carrying an alabaster box. A very, very costly box or container filled with precious ointment. And she walks in and she breaks the alabaster box. Very, very expensive box. Very, very costly oil. And she anoints the head of Jesus. And if you read there in Mark chapter 14 through that story, you will hear or you will read that there were those that were sitting there that day. And the Bible said that they had great indignation. They were just plumb upset. They said, why was this waste made? Why in the world did she break that box and pour out that costly oil on your head? It could have been sold for a great amount of money and given to the poor. And Jesus said to them, the poor you will always have with you. And you can always do something good for the poor. But this woman, what she has done unto me. And I love what Jesus says. He says in verse 6 of that 14th chapter of the book of Mark, he said, let her alone. Leave her be. You will always have the poor with you, and you can do good unto them whensoever you will, but me you will not always have. And in verse 8, he said, she hath done what she could. Amen. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Her couldn't do it all, but he did what he could.
We can't do it all, but I'll thank God we can do what God will allow us to do. Jesus said she had done what she could. Amen. And her anointing my body is under my burial. And he said, and guess what? Amen. Wherever this gospel is preached, this too shall be spoken of her as a memorial unto her, what she's done unto me. And guess what? Over 2,000 years later, standing in Emmett, Idaho, I'm still preaching about what she did. So do what you can and God will bless it. Amen. He did what he could. He got involved. I encourage you this morning to be involved. I encourage you this morning to find a way to become involved. There is always room for those who will make themselves available to be involved. Hello? And I'm telling you this morning, when you get involved, you got to be faithful. Yeah. And some folks are real sanguine. They get involved and they're good for a couple of months. And then they need somebody to take up the slack. Hello? Those of you that have been in ministry, you know what I'm talking about. Thank God for the ones that get involved and then they put a commitment behind their involvement and they remain faithful. They are the hers of the body of Christ. Amen. They are the hers. Amen. Her was invaluable and her was involved. Number three, a guy like her is often invisible. This man, her, he is only mentioned a few times in Scripture. Our text is one of them. Here is a man that lived in the shadows and in obscurity, and everyone around him received all of the attention. He was invisible to the crowd that day. No one could see Moses and Aaron. No one could see her. They could see Joshua in the valley fighting the battle. Can you imagine all of the pats on the back and the cheers of hooray as Joshua walked back into the camp of the Israelites and they had won the battle? Joshua, I can see it in my mind. Joshua wins the battle and he comes back into camp and everybody's cheering Joshua, patting him on the back. Good job, Joshua. And the old folks were like, I knew that boy was a good kid from the day he got here. Hello? Atta boy, Joshua, good job, son. Right? And here comes Moses. I can see Moses as he, amen, brings into the camp an expression of gratitude. And everybody looks to Moses, hey, our fearless leader. Thank God for Moses. Thank God. And then Aaron, I can see everybody as Aaron calls everyone together and he offers up a prayer of thanksgiving and he's in everybody's visible sight and he leads the congregation in prayer of thanksgiving for God giving them the victory. And while all of that's going on and everybody's looking at Moses and looking at Joshua and looking at Aaron, a guy like her quietly slips into the camp and goes back to his tent and nobody even knows what he did that day. Nobody was even aware of what he did. But I want you to know something this morning. God knew what he had done. God knew what he had done. Amen. I want you to know this morning that God keeps a record. God keeps a record. Amen. The fact that only a couple of people may have even knew what he had did that day to cause the victory, and no one in the camp might have been telling him, good job, her. Her walks quietly back to his camp weary. Amen. Because he had given of himself and he'd given of his energy and he'd given of his time, but he walks back and lets everybody else have the applause of men and just said, I want the approval of God. There are those that are just like her in our church this morning. They are invisible to the crowd. And while the preachers preach and the teachers teach and the singers sing and everybody gets their pat on the back, amen, there are some folks that don't hold a high visible position, but they're the backbone of the body. They are the prayer warriors. They are the elders. They are my wife who I lean on. I'm going to tell you what. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Give her a hand clap of appreciation. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I couldn't do what I do without my wife. She is my right arm. Not more than that, man. I mean, she is my right arm. I lean on her. I lean upon the leadership and the elders. Amen. People like her never get the applause or never get the acclaim or never are visible. But I'm going to tell you, we could never do what we do if they weren't right there beside us. There are people like our secretaries. People like the Sunday school teachers. And I want to honor Bonnie Davis right here this morning, who works tirelessly in our children's department and raising up our kids in the knowledge and in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. It takes dedication and it takes commitment and it takes requirement. But it's because of her that our Sunday school department is busting at the seams. Hallelujah. The doorkeepers, those that clean and pick up. Amen. After service, everybody starts grabbing chairs and stacking them away. Thank you. That's a her mentality. Thank you this morning. Without you, amen, without you, we would be lacking. We are all needed as part of the work of the body of Christ. There are no big I's and there are no little U's. It's not about me. It's about us pulling together and working for the kingdom of God and doing what we can to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we all do our part, and we all, amen, pull together, we're like a well-oiled machine working for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. A guy like her is invaluable. A guy like her is involved, and a guy like her is often invisible. Number four, a guy like her realizes that he is an investor. A guy like her is an investor, investing themselves for a greater cause, investing themselves for a greater purpose, willing to give of themselves to encourage someone else. A guy like her understands that it's not all about me, but it's about helping others. It's about doing something that furthers the work of the kingdom of God. One who understands that it is about seeing a brother or a sister in need and responding to that need. It's about holding one another up. We all get weary. And I'm going to tell you this morning, when you see a brother and sister that's weary by the wayside, we ought to have the mentality that we want to come along and help, and we want to come along and uphold. There are enough people in the body of Christ that when they see somebody down, they want to step on them and put them down. Thank God that we don't have that mentality around here. We ought to be in the business of lifting people up and encouraging people and bringing them into a closer relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And nobody may see what you do, but it's not about who sees. It's about one day stepping over into the realm of glory and hearing the master say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." Oh, but Pastor Gary, you don't know how much I give and how much I sacrifice. And you know what? Maybe I even don't realize how much you do. But I'm going to tell you what God does. Amen. And let me just tell you this, when it's all said and done, I'm not going to be the one handing out your reward. I'm not writing you a paycheck. He is. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Oh, you could shout on that. Hello? What do you mean, Pastor Gary? What I'm preaching is there are people, amen, that may be pastoring a church of 5,000 people. You would think that they're wonderfully successful. And then there are other people that are preaching a handful or preaching to a handful. Amen. Who's going to get the bigger reward? The one leading the 5,000? Hey, I submit to you this morning that the one leading the 5,000 has a whole lot many more reasons why he's in leadership than the guy leading a handful. And those that are leading a handful are going to be first. And those that are leading many are going to be last. It's all about motive. Hello? Amen. Let me just tell you this morning, God is keeping a record. And one day we will enter into his presence and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Amen. I thought this morning, I'm up having my coffee and studying my notes and I'm sitting on the patio there and watching the sun come up. And I'm reading over my notes and my mind went back to one of my Sunday school teachers. Her name was Helen McDonald in California. Helen McDonald faithfully taught her Sunday school class. And she didn't know it at the time, but she was raising up a generation of preachers. Hello? She was raising up a generation of individuals who would stand and proclaim the word of God. She may even be gone by now. I did get to see her, and I preached a revival in Tulare, California, and her daughter was there in that particular service. So I did get to see her. She knows I grew up to be a preacher. Amen. But she may already be gone. I don't know. But what I can tell you this morning is that her investment lives on. Every Sunday that she sacrificed to get a lesson together and show up and teach it, her legacy continues today. I can still remember in my mind lessons that she taught me when I was just in the first grade. There are Sunday school lessons that still are in my mind that I can hear as she gave instruction and as she taught us. Let me just tell you something this morning. What you do for the Lord, amen, it may not seem to have an impact, but brother, you are investing in eternity. Yeah, amen. A guy like her understands that it's not about the applause of men. It's about the approval and the acceptance of God. It's about pleasing the Lord. It's about investing in his kingdom. It's about investing in eternity. It's about investing in him. What I'm trying to get across to you this morning is you may not have a high profile position in the church, and you may think that stacking chairs after the service, or you may think that praying for the services or teaching your little Sunday school class, amen, is of no importance, and it's an unimportant function. But I came to tell you this morning that it is important, and it is investing in the kingdom, and it will have eternal consequences and eternal reward. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10 said, God is not unrighteous. Listen to that. God is not unrighteous. He is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you have shown toward his name. In other words, every time we do something for the kingdom, God gets out his little eternal pencil and writes it down in your book. Need to make sure we get that taken care of and paid. eternal rewards. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the things that you have done in his name. There are no unimportant duties in the house of God. Please leave with that in your mind this morning. Well, Pastor Gary, all I do is shake folks' hand and smile. Can I just tell you something this morning? That some folks, that's exactly what they need. Hello? That's exactly what they need. So do it. Do it willingly. Do it faithfully. Amen. I have learned along the way that promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. God will promote those whom he finds faithfully doing the things that he's already given them to do. Hello? In other words, be faithful for what he's already given you to do, and God will give you other things to do. Hello? So let me conclude. A guy like her is invaluable. A guy like her is involved. A guy like her is often invisible and working in the background. We have teachers scattered around this building this morning that are teaching little ones right now. They're out of our sight, but they should never be out of our mind. They should be thanked and they should be appreciated. A guy like her is an investor. Let me just tell you something this morning. The greatest reward that you will ever receive is the things that you have done for the kingdom of God. You think you might want to be an investor in this world. I promise you, in this world, moth and rust does corrupt. But if you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, ain't nobody going to take it from you. Moth ain't going to eat it. Rust ain't going to canker it. And no thief is ever going to take it away. Do what you can for the Lord and do it faithfully. And God will see to it that you are rewarded. And you'll lighten the load for the Joshuas and the Moseses and the Aarons and those that God has called to lead, without whom we cannot do it without you. I'm sure this morning that there are some here in this body under the sound of my voice that can relate to her. You have dedicated yourself to the Lord, and sometimes you feel overlooked and unappreciated, unrecognized for your contributions. This morning, let me tell you, I happen to know very well that your pastor thinks that you are absolutely the best. And I mean that with all of my heart. You are loved and you are cherished. And God will not let you go unrewarded for your work. We all need in our life a guy like her. And I want you to know this morning as I close, we all need to be a guy like her. We all need to be a guy like her for someone in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and you have bought into the lie of the devil that what you do is unimportant and this church would not miss you if you weren't here. The devil is a liar. You are important. What you do is important. It's invaluable. Continue to be involved. Continue, amen, to be investing. Continue to do what God has laid upon your heart to do. Continue to be involved. You may be invisible, but just continue to do what God has laid upon your heart, and God will reward and bless you for it. Others may not see, but there is an all-seeing eye that will not let any good go unblessed. Bow your heads all over the building this morning, if you will. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I personally, I want to be a guy like her. I want to be a her. Father, this morning, I pray as we bow our heads in your presence, there are those among us who have labored and sacrificed. And seemingly we have gone unappreciated, or it has gone unnoticed. Father, help us to understand that you are keeping a record, and that you will not let any good thing that we do for your kingdom go unrewarded, unrecognized. And it may not happen here on planet Earth, but when we step on the other side, the sacrifices and the investments that we have made, we'll see the reward of those sacrifices and those responsibilities that we have borne. Encourage the hers among us. Father, those this morning that desire to be a her, help us to understand that it will take involvement, it will take commitment, it will take investment, but that the work that we do will be invaluable to your kingdom. I pray this morning, Lord, you will take the words of this message and touch the hearts of these, the people of God, and that you will bless them this morning with your word. I pray it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I want to be a guy like her. I want to be a guy like her. I want to be an investor in the kingdom. I want to do what I can. I want to do what I can to uphold and encourage and help. Hands lifted all over the building. Are there others? You'd say, Pastor Gary, that's me. That's me. That's me. Let me just tell you what Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says. It says, be not weary in well-doing. Now, if you're not doing well, you ought to get weary. But it says, be not weary in well-doing, for you'll reap in due season if you faint not. Don't faint. There's a harvest coming. Stand to your feet all over the building. Let me pray with you, and then I'm going to have the worship team lead us in a song. Heavenly Father, you have seen every hand lifted. And God, you know the hers that stand here in this congregation. Please let them know today that they are absolutely invaluable. That the work that is being done here in this body would suffer greatly should they not continue in their well-doing. Help us also, Lord, to understand that everything that we do is an investment in your kingdom. It's like adding money to our 401k. We're investing in the kingdom of God. And Lord, you are never outgiven. And what we do unto you and do for you, it will come with great reward in the day that we stand in your presence. Father, this morning, if we are in this congregation, if we have not been a guy like her, we've been uninvolved and we've not invested and we didn't want to be a part and we just wanted to come and be blessed, I pray that you would touch hearts this morning. Cause them to recognize that they are needed. They are needed in the body of Christ. They are needed in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts with this word this morning and you will speak to us. And help us to be a guy like her in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead.